Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother, the youngest one in curls. It's the story of a man named Brady.
Everybody sing along.
Who was busy with three boys of his own.
We all know the words. Back when they did TV theme songs, you know, they don't do them anymore. And this is one of the best ones. Back when the TV theme songs told the story of the show. If you never saw the show before, you could watch the opening credits, hear the theme song, and go, I'm all caught up. I know what's going on. Not today. That, of course, is the theme song from the Brady Bunch. And my guest right now is Mike Lookinland, who played Bobby Brady. And he's going to be appearing at the all-night flea market in Wheaton on this Saturday. It's from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. on the DuPage County Fairgrounds. And we were just talking about it because our old friend Steve and Johnny are also going to be there. And we talked about their appearance, and there's going to be so much other stuff to do. And in addition to Mike Lookinland from the Brady Bunch, Susan Olsen is also going to be there. Best known from the Brady Bunch as well. So let's welcome Mike to the show. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you, man?
I'm doing well.
All right.
Cool. And 10,000 or so of my best friends as well will be there too, right? Or is it more like 100,000? You got to tell me.
Yeah, it's
about the you got to tell me about this thing. All I know is all night flea market.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It always is. We've talked about it on the air before. Lots of people show up for it. It's a very unique event because of the, you know, because of the strange hours. And but you get a lot. You'll get a lot of people out there. A lot of other great people are going to be there, and celebrities, and a lot of activities. It's going to be a good time, man. You guys are going to have fun.
That's great. Susan Olsen, you know, who played Cindy.
Yeah.
A few years back, she started me on this task. And so this will be the next one we do together. It's fun. She said, oh, Mike, I have to go do this thing, but I'm all by myself. Do you want to come and do it with me? And, it was such a blast. It was something similar. It was like a Comic-Con kind of thing.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But that was years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. It's so much fun to go meet everybody. And we chat and sign autographs, and it's a good time.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Are you surprised at all by how this show has endured? I mean, this is, you know, 50 years ago almost, and it's still people still love it, people still watch it, and you must have a ton of fans who come out to these things.
Yeah, it's been something I've been experiencing since I was a kid. You know, it was big then, and it's remained. Big just because people, I guess, you know, people look back on it with a lot of fondness, you know.
Yeah,
it was part of their childhood as well. And you know, every once in a while it's funny, you know, the mom or even grandma will bring a young child and say, look, that's Bobby Brady. and the little girl looks up at grandma and looks at me, and I was obviously very uncomfortable. And you know, she wants to say, but he's old.
<Yeah.
You
know.
laughs> Grandma, no, he's an old geezer.
Right.
Yeah. So I got to change my early to bed ways for at least one night coming up here pretty soon.
That's right. So I want to ask you about how you got the part. And I understand that you know, you started out as a young actor and everything, but you were you had this role to consider and the lead in why am I blanking on that?
The courtship of Eddie's father.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So you had those to choose from. Tell me about how that worked out.
Well, you know, my parents just went by the better judgment of our agent.
Mm-hmm.
And the agent said, no, I don't think this courtship of Eddie's father thing is for us. I think we should, you know, hold out for the other one. And we thought she was crazy. And because the Brady offer came a little later. I mean, it was only days later, but it was basically the same time. But we turned down courtship of Eddie's father. And it was the Brady Bunch was only the second or third job I really ever had officially. I had done a paper towel commercial,
mm-hmm.
and I had done, I think, a Band-Aid commercial. And that was it. And in the paper towel commercial, you never even saw my face. It was just my hands. So the Brady Bunch was to get something that became a phenomenon, you know, that lasted for decades, which was pretty amazing. So I guess we credit my agent for her good judgment. That's right.
What was it like to work on the show? I'm sure you get this question all the time. Were you and the other kids friends? Did you hang out a lot? What was it like to be on that show?
It was very much a kind of a family setting, believe it or not. It was a little different from a lot of stories you hear about, you know, stage mothers and the bad influence of Hollywood on children. The producers had a lot to do with that, and Robert Reed, the dad, had a lot to do with that too. He didn't want to see us become, you know, Hollywood brats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, it was that sort of kid friendly setting was an upfront kind of, you know, decision. It was done on purpose for us, for our benefit, and you know, that's really nice.
Yeah,
and they also didn't pay us very much, so you know, that kept us you know, on the straight and narrow, right?
Right. Right. Now, I understand that when you first got the gig, you have, like, naturally sandy hair, and they had to dye it black for the role, so that you...
Oh, yeah, well, it's so funny that was set. I considered that such a big deal, you know, back then. And now, you know, if you get a job, you know, you might have blue skin or, you know, purple hair or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, yeah, back in the day, it was such an enormous event. At least I thought, as an 8-year-old, to go to work one day with red hair or blonde hair,
and come
back from work with jet black hair, you know. But yeah, they said when they were casting, I was actually the last cast member. I was the last member of the cast who was chosen for the show.
Okay,
they were having trouble finding a body. So they said, we have it down to this one kid and you, and he has black hair, and we need for you to have black hair. Is that okay? We said, sure. Mm. So, but it was weird in 1969 to for a child to go to work and come back with black hair, I guess. I don't know.
How did you end up being a cameraman? And that must have been really fun. When you were on the set, were you curious as to how everything worked technically?
I was drawn to the technical trades for sure. The sound man and the camera guys and the, you know, the lighting grid and all that. But, when coming out of college, when I needed a job, I knew that I could get, what basically amounts to a slave labor position, you know, an internship,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
On a film set. And I did. And it was a feature film that was being produced by the Sundance Institute out here where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So I was what's called a PA on a feature film, production assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And coming as a production assistant, you're sort of looking at all fields, at all trades in the business, you know?
Right.
And you would go, if you were to move up from there, you could move up into almost any category, right? And I just, after doing that for a while, I just decided that camera was the place for me, and I ended up doing that for almost 20 years.
Wow.
As a camera assistant and a camera operator.
That's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of film production out here in not quite to California. I live in Utah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of film production that takes place here, and so I had a good long career. And then one day I said, "Honey, I'm quitting my job." She said, "What?"
Yeah.
I said, "I'm going to do this other thing," and I started my own company, and And I spend most of my time now either making concrete or preparing to make concrete.
All right, hang on a second. We have to take a break. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, okay, Mike? Hang on.
Okay, sure.
Hold on. There's Mike Lookinland, who you know as Bobby Brady from the Brady Bunch. And if you want to meet him, get an autograph and all that cool stuff. Also, Susan Olson, Cindy is going to be there, too. And they are going to be at the all-night flea market in Wheaton. That's this Saturday at the DuPage County Fair grounds. Going to be a ton of other people out there. And as you just heard a little while ago, Steve and Johnny are going to be there as well. It's going to be a good time. And it's Saturday from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m., so make sure you go on out and have some fun this weekend.
Oh, that's in life. Just keep chugging.
Right. Now, there is a reason why this song is being played. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN on a Friday morning. My guest is Mike Lookinland, who played Bobby Brady on the Brady Bunch, and he will be appearing with a bunch of other really cool people, with Steve and Johnny as well, and Susan Olson, and more. We'll tell you about that in a little bit, at the all-night flea market in Wheaton on Saturday. And we have all the links and information on our Facebook page. But, Mike, we welcome back to the show. Mike, you're a deadhead.
Oh, yeah. I'm a deadhead. No question.
How many shows have you seen?
Well, up until the day Jerry died, I had seen 119.
Oh, my God.
But it took a long time. It wasn't like that was in, 2 years.
Right.
It took me 10 years to rack up that many. But when it came on the news the morning that Jerry died, I was making pancakes. I put the spatula down, and I thought to myself, I sure wish I'd seen him. Lot more Grateful Dead concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just one of those things, I mean, people do funny things. That was my funny thing.
Yeah.
And it was just a good thing to be and do for a while.
Yeah.
And once you're a deadhead, you're pretty much there for life, I guess.
Yeah, our friend here in the city, George Karzis, who runs a great restaurant mm-hmm. called Gale Street Inn, he's a deadhead. And goes to all of the shows that still exist with the remaining members of the dead. And all
that stuff. if you count the the subsequent versions of the band, with various members, like they've been doing for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
In 20 years, can you believe that? then I might be up to 150.
Right, if you're going to count all that. I understand.
Yeah, sure.
I'm up to 35 on Dave Matthews. So that's...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So,
yeah, that's fun.
Let me ask you about particular episodes of the Brady Bunch. And I have to tell you that I know that the very last episode that you guys did, I know that Robert Reed didn't want to be in it because he read the script and he's not in it. But
right.
I think that episode is hilarious. This is the episode I really, every time I watch it, I think you're hilarious on it.
Cousin Oliver.
Cousin Oliver, isn't it? Yep, that's
Cousin
right.
Oliver.
You guys got the rabbits. You got you turn Greg's hair orange. My favorite line ever is, it could have been worse. It could have turned green. I don't know. So what was the deal with that episode? That was the last one you guys shot.
Yeah, that was it. You mean with regard to Robert Reed and him just saying, I ain't doing it?
Yeah.
It was just, he had a very contentious relationship with the producers. The severity of which I was protected from, what I mean? I didn't really know just how bad it was.
Yeah.
Plus I was a happy-go-lucky little kid that just, bounced around having a good day, as much as possible. And I wasn't hip to the intrigue and just how bad it was. But right. Robert Reed and the producers really hated each other. And he's dead, and they're not. And boy, Sherwood died not too long ago, but if you talk to them today, they still hold a very serious grudge against Bob Reed.
Yeah.
And so by then, I guess it was bad enough that when the script, which he considered, he thought it was just too stupid.
Yeah.
you know, that's the 3-word explanation. You know,
yeah.
It's too stupid. yeah, and they instead apparently in that case, I mean, we didn't know it was the last episode.
Yeah,
it was the last episode. It was the last episode of that season, right?
Right.
So there could have been 2 more seasons. We didn't know, but anyway, it turned out to be the last one. And instead of you know, picking up the fight and you know, having another battle with Bob Reed, the producer said, "Fine, you're not in it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in it." Oh, and yeah, instead of another battle, they just said, "Fine."
Yeah.
So he's not in that last episode.
That's it. Yeah,
stuff like that. You know, stuff like that you read about now seems far away to me. You know, obviously it's far away in time, but you know, I've lived like 2 more lifetimes since then, you know.
Yeah.
Being, you know, one of them being like the Grateful Dead.
Right.
And in college and raising a family and now having my own company and business. It's so funny that it's funny and interesting to me and enjoyable. I don't mind it, but it's one of the reasons why I kind of like going to these events, because people come up with stories like that. And I'm forced to, you know, think about it and relive it in a sense and just remember it. I mean, think about how much you remember exactly, you know, in detail from when you were 12 years old.
Yeah, no, I don't
remember. You remember snippets.
Yeah.
You remember events, but you don't remember whole. Some people do, but most people just... their childhood is very far away, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like that because, like I say, I've raised a couple of kids and, you know, been around the world and it's fun to go back to the Brady Bunch,
mm-hmm.
But it just seems so far removed.
Before we let you go, yeah. Mike, and I totally understand it. Do you have a favorite episode? If you had to choose a favorite Brady Bunch episode, which one would it be?
I like, as far as like being there and filming it, I've always said I like the one best where Greg had to make a movie for his high school history class.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And we were pilgrims, and we did, you know, we reenacted, you know, Plymouth Rock.
Right. Yep.
Remember that one?
I do.
I like that one not so much from a, like, entertainment standpoint, but just from how much fun it was to do it.
Yeah.
To film it.
Yeah.
Going to Hawaii was probably the best for me.
Sure.
And those are funny. Those are fun, hilarious episodes.
They are. And you got to
be good luck. It's good luck.
It is.
Here, wear this. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and Vincent Price. I mean, how can you?
Sure.
You know,
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Listen, Mike, it was a real pleasure talking to you, man. I had a lot of fun. And you're going to have a great time here. I'm sure a lot of fans will come out. It's the all-night flea market at DuPage County Fairgrounds in Wheaton from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. It's ZircoProductions.com. Susan Olson is going to be there with you, Mike, so people can come up and say hi to both Bobby and Cindy.
Yeah.
Real fun talking to you, man. Have a great weekend, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, take care. There you go. Mike Lookinland, everybody. Bobby Brady from the Brady Bunch. Yet another great person that's going to be at the all-night flea market, you know, along with our good friend Stephen Johnny, who we just talked to. Undead Johnny is going to be there. There's going to be a haunted house out there. Target Zombies, which is a family-friendly mobile laser shooting experience where you can go after zombies. There's going to be a ton of other events and celebrities and all kinds of cool stuff. So go out there and see Bobby and Cindy Brady and see Steve and Johnny, our guests this morning. All right, we'll take a quick break here. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN.